And she published her PhD thesis entitled Flexibilitetens Främlinger about temporary agency workers in 2008. So please, Gunilla.
Thank you. Today I'm going to talk about a study in the warehouse sector. The warehouses are among the most eager clients of agency work in Norway, mostly because of the seasonal, weekly and cyclical nature of demand. And with such variation comes a great demand for just-in-time employment. In our study, we look specifically at warehouses in the Oslo region as a site for core-periphery relations and workplace commitment. The main objective is to explore how core, permanent employees and peripheral temporary agency workers perceive and express their sense of commitment in shared low-skill workplaces such as this warehouses. The empirical basis is from semi-structured focus group interviews in four different warehouses. We talked to permanent employees and temporary agency workers. The agency workers are mostly long-term or short-term hired and migrants from Sweden, while the permanent employees is a mix of Norwegian and Swedish Oslo residents. A majority had a background as agency workers in the same warehouse. An important background for our choice of industry was that the low-skill agency workers has more or less the same skill level as permanent employees and do mostly the same job as the permanent employees. Our study focuses on the organizational commitment to the workplace, including social commitment, professional commitment, and workplace loyalty. In this picture, you can see the four warehouses and, for instance, their strategies for labor hire and share of agency workers. Warehouse workplaces tend to have relatively similar characteristics when it comes to work tasks and relatively basic skill requirements. Workers are responsible for moving items from one point to another. The number of picks are recorded per worker or workplace. The items they pick may be picked by hand or in a bulk on a forklift truck. To explore the core periphery relations and workplace commitment, the focus group discussions focused on four main questions: what it means to belong in the workplace, and what is important in order to feel this sense of belonging, to what extent the type of contract mattered in terms of belonging, where workers would place themselves on a visual core periphery model of the workplace and why they placed themselves where they did. Another question revolved around time prospects and career path. We focus on three main aspects related to organizational commitment and core periphery relations. Social commitment is about the effective commitment to social ties at the workplace and the continuance commitment related to maintaining membership as a colleague and also to increase the chances of permanent employment. Professional commitment is related to how the individual worker identifies with the warehouse workplace as a site for skill upgrading and career development. And at last, workplace loyalty includes loyalty to employers and colleagues. So I give you a few examples from our findings. The agency workers seem to emphasize the social commitment to the workplace as a response to their status as peripheral worker. Agency workers talked about the fact that they needed the social collective to balance repetitive work or work in which they did not find much meaning, as you can see in this first quotation. The agency workers also expressed social commitment as a way of channeling commitment and emotional attachment when they were insecure about their contractual status or were unhappy with management. For the permanent employees, the social aspects of work were secondary to their professional status, as one of the permanent employees expressed in this second quotation. However, it is important to keep in mind that the permanent employees do not have to prove themselves as much as agency workers, nor are they desperate to form some sort of a family at the workplace. To the permanent employees, social commitment was less important as a balance to what one agency worker referred to as shitty, monotonous work. This is a paradox since they perform almost the same job. However, the transition from a temporary position to permanent seems to alter what kind of organizational commitment that is regarded as most important. Professional commitment, this is about the workplace as a site for career development, professional pride, and positive challenges. This topic came out of the same discussion that included social commitment, that is, what matters in terms of feeling a sense of belonging or centrality in the workplace. However, differences were evident. The agency workers seemed to keep the warehouse job at arm's length by referring to the tasks as boring or by stating that they do not see themselves in this line of work in the future. For example, some agency workers expressed that they did not have any plans at all, while others regard warehouse job as a stop on the way to a different career or further studies. The permanent employees expressed commitment to career in the warehouse industry, as rarely mentioned their work tasks in negative terms. They gain access to promotion opportunities, while the agency workers serve as a buffer to actually secure these opportunities. These two quotes, I think, illustrate these two positions well. As a paradox, a majority of the permanent employees had first worked as agency workers at the clients. It seems like the job grows in importance when they are offered a permanent position, which poses the question about what is the distinction between a good or a bad job. So at last, workplace loyalty. The workplaces have different strategies for labor hire. This influences the rules of the game for each workplace when it comes to the power position of agency workers and their chances for permanent employment or contract extensions. In workplace A, the use of hired labor is linked to recruitment. It is very rare to be offered a permanent job without first showing your worth as an agency worker. They compete to get the permanent position, but since the rules of the game are transparent to everyone, they were also perceived as quite fair. This is also a way to boost productivity, and agency workers who are in the screening process for permanent work are expected to work harder. You can see this an example of this in the first quotation. The loyalty and trust in a system of promotion is also a way of protecting the workplace from unwanted negative elements. To the permanent employees in workplace A, the screening process was important to ensure the functioning of the shift team. The high expectations of productivity from agency workers was seen as legitimate. As a contrast, workplaces with less clear or different strategies for labor hire seem to produce less loyalty to the client employer and less trust in the rules of the game. For instance, workplace D, as you can see in the last quotation, engages agency workers on shorter contracts. The workers were also clear about the more random nature of who is offered permanent work among the agency workers, and this created tensions in the whole organization. So, to conclude, we conclude that agency workers tend to express higher commitment in a social sense, often stating the importance of social ties to colleagues and downplaying the job as a means of a career upgrading. As a contrast, permanent employees in the client firm tend to express higher professional commitment and by that elevating the status of a low-skill occupation. Moreover, we find that workplace loyalty in a broad sense is influenced by client companies' labor hire strategy, as different strategies produce different worker hierarchies and systems of organizational support. For client companies, strategies of labor hire can be seen as a strategic long-term alternative to direct employment. Although our study shows that the distinction of a core and a periphery is not always clear to the worker, it is vital to acknowledge that there is a deep structural inequality between permanent employees and agency workers. Perhaps most importantly, agency workers have limited power agency as management can decide on the most strategic way to manage, motivate and control their performance. These structural differences influence permanent employees and agency workers' social and professional commitment as well as their loyalty to the user firm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gunilla. We have time for a few questions. Questions for Gunilla as well as for David. Yes. Leah.
I had a couple that might overlap, but maybe just for David briefly. You had in your slide, and this relates to Gunilla, said an other category, other category, and I presume that would be like third country nationals. And that seemed to be growing too, so I wondered if maybe the both of you had a comment on that. And then I guess to both of you as well, David, you talked about sort of enforcement. I guess my question is about enforcement. So when does work not be in temporary work agencies in Norway, what does it really mean that the work must be temporary? In other words, I know that's a legal restriction, and there's a worker on the slide, Gunilla, that you mentioned, who has talked about working there for 2 years or whatever. I know the rule is that it must be temporary, but what does it really mean in practice?
Okay, so David can answer that.
I'm not sure I can give you a good answer to that, but I feel pretty confident that there are people in this room who would know the legal requirements of interpreting the Arbeidsmiljøloven, Working Employment Act, and the requirement for work being temporary. But what we understand it when in this project, I suppose, it is both related to covering up for sick leave and for covering up for seasonal varying demand. So that would be the main two main forms of temporary need that qualifies for that kind of work. Yes. Yes. And the other category is not something we have. This mapping exercise looks at the broad trends. The role I've had in this project has been mainly in warehouses, where we do not see a lot of workers from that other category, which has to do with occupational health and safety and language requirements. So that's also why Swedish workers dominate. So maybe somebody else could give a better answer on the trends on that other category.
I think we'll take a couple more questions.
Jeg er Torgny Hassås, jeg er journalist I LO-Aktuelt, og jeg tar dette spørsmålet på norsk, for da blir det litt mer presist. Du, så vidt jeg til David, så vidt jeg skjønte, så bruker du tall fra NHO Service og AKU-tall for å... I NHO Service så det cirka I underkant av 500 medlemmer, litt avhengig av hvordan de presenterer det. Hvis du går på Brønnøysundregisteret, så det 5500 bedrifter som registrert. Altså det 90% av de registrerte bedriftene som utenfor NHO-service. Hvordan, det da helt åpenbart at det en stor del av bransjen som ikke blir omfattet av NHO-servicetall. Hvordan har du forholdt deg til det I, dine, I din forskning?
We take one more question before we...
My name is Eivind Hoffman. I'm a semi-retired labor economist and statistician. You said, David, you said that migration has been an important driver for the development of the temporary work agencies. But I wondered if you could comment on the impact on the temporary work agencies to, as a facilitator of immigration to Norway during this period, and also how they are different from and to what extent they can be separated from recruitment agencies.
Okay, let's see if I can answer this in a proper way. First, to the number 5,500 registered companies. This is important because when and maybe NHO Service could also comment on this, but when they say that they organize estimated 80% of the industry, I think that relates to revenue and man hours and not to the number of companies, of course. And this is also I think that this project in general has been looking at what we can call, who was it that said organized capitalism? The organized part of this industry. So we are well aware that there are large parts of this industry that falls outside the confines of this organized section. Many of them are companies with only one employee. And a lot of the what relates to the recruitment of migrant labor might also fall into many of these very small companies. I have not looked at this. This is so. Just to reiterate, I have and some of us have done a mapping exercise, mainly relying on not so much AKU, but Stats Norway, Strukturstatistikken til SSB, NHO service numbers, and the available reports on this industry by Fafo, by others, and by speaking to representatives of the industry. So. It would be so. I would not be the right person to give you in-depth knowledge about all these very small companies. And what was the other question?
Labor migration facilitation.
Yes, this is something that we will come back to with a separate talk after the break. So maybe you will get better information about that then. Yes.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have a question for Gunilla? The end? No? Okay, Knut.
In several books, and the warehouses have been depicted as a kind of almost concentration camp where it's control, surveillance. Did you see any signs of this kind of extraordinary control matters that has been depicted otherwise.
Yes, they were really controlled by different kind of technological systems. They were working right. They had their headphones on and they were listening to voices that told them what to do, and they answered and the microphone to, now I have done this. Or sometimes they did have, you know, when you go to warehouses and you yourself buy food, you click on something and they do that. And there's all kinds of different kind of technological systems that control their every move by seconds. And if they don't, they slow down, they can hear a voice that say, what are you doing? Yeah.
I could also add that part of that sort of control is that they get measured, you know, the number of items picked. So they're very, very highly measured on productivity, not only individually, but also as shift teams, which partly explains, you know, the dynamics between permanent employees and agency workers.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much. We'll move on to the next speaker. Thank you very much, Gunilla.